Okay, so we're doing Horios, right at the beginning. You can't see the daf number at the top, but you can tell because there's an opening Mishnah over there that's nice and flowery, which shows you that it's the beginning of the Masechta. So we're in daf Beis Amud Aleph. Horios is an interesting Masechet. A lot of it is what I would call meta halacha, because it talks about judges and it talks about the way that halacha works and the way that shgaga works, which is what we're going to talk about today. The majority of the Masechta talks about shkaga, the korban chatas for shkagot, for different kinds of shkagot, for a regular one, for a nasi, for a king, for a kohen mashiach. That's what a lot of the Masechta talks about. And also other issues of horayot, which means literally teaching and ruling. So that's why it's called that. So horu. Horu beit din la'avor al achas mikol mitzvot ha'amuros batorah, v'halach ha'yachid v'asa shogeg al pihem. So imagine a case where the Beis Din rules on a certain issue. We'll just keep it simple and we'll say that they said that a piece of meat was kosher when really it wasn't. Maybe, a part of the animal or something like that, so that we can expand it to a large amount of people. They said that a certain type of animal or a certain kind of trefa, let's say, is kosher and it's not a problem. And then, let's say a single person, halacha yachid, Vasa shogeg al piem, bein shasu vasa imayin, bein shasu vasa acharein, bein shalo asu vasa patur, v'mnei shatala b'beisdin. So there's two parts to this. The first part is, what happens to the person himself? So, you imagine the Beit Din comes out with a ruling, and then Yecheskel goes out and he acts on that ruling. And he eats the meat that they said that you're allowed to eat, and it turns out later on that they were wrong. And he really shouldn't have eaten it. So what happens to Yecheskel? Does he bring a korban chatas for eating the meat that he wasn't supposed to eat? So the Mishnah says, doesn't matter what happened, doesn't matter if the Beit Din itself was eating the meat, doesn't matter if he did it at the same time that the Beit Din made the ruling, doesn't matter whether it was after, asu yimayin, asu v'asa acharein, doesn't matter, no matter what, as long as the reason that he did it was because they ruled that it was okay, he's patur from bringing a korban. That's all we know from the Mishnah so far. We don't know anything else that happens. It sounds like the perfect crime, right? He gets away with it, and nobody pays for it. That's what it sounds like from the beginning of the Mishnah. Horu Beis Din v'yada.
The Beis Din said that something specific is mutar when it was asur, or
make it simple.
From today on, you don't need to keep shabbos.
No. They said they somebody brought them a piece of meat. They said, this meat. Let's make it simple. This meat came from such and such an animal, and the Beis Din said, yeah, that's fine. And then it turns out that animal doesn't chew its cud, and they got it wrong. Don't know how they got it wrong, but they got it wrong. Turns out that the meat was not kosher. Yecheskel's off the hook. So doesn't have to worry about it.
For the Beit Din to do in that
so
case?
For now, the Mishnah doesn't say anything about that, and I purposely want to separate them. What we're interested in right now is what does the individual do? Does the individual do? The answer is the individual does nothing.
Geographically, it's a little challenging.
We have to figure out why that is that the individual does nothing. But for now, what we can understand is he didn't do anything wrong because he was just relying on the Beit Din. So he's relying on the Beit Din. Good enough. He doesn't have to bring anything. He didn't do anything wrong. You only bring a korban. Let's do it simply. You only bring a korban if you do something wrong. He didn't do anything wrong.
So it sounds at this point that if I ask a Rav Shaila and he gives me a psak, and the psak, and I act on that psak, and the psak is an error, I'm free.
Sounds that way so far.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Second clause of the Mishnah: Horu beis din v'yada achad mehan shetau, o talmid v'hu ra'i l'hora. V'alach v'asa apien, bein shasu v'asa iman, bein shasu v'asa acharein, bein shalasu v'asa areza chayav, nei shalo talav v'beizdin. What happens if, the same case, except there was, let's say, one of the members of the Sanhedrin was there, and he saw the animal, and he said, we had the animal when I was growing up, and I noticed that it did not chew its cud. And he tries to tell everybody, or let's assume that he tries to tell everybody, nobody listens, and they say, no, it's kosher. And then he goes home, and he goes to the nearby burgers bar where they're selling that meat, and he eats a piece of meat. Then it turns out that they were wrong the whole time. What's his status? So the Mishnah says he's chayev. He's chayev because he knew that it was really a problem. And so he shouldn't have been relying on the Beis Din. That's what the Mishnah seems to be saying.
That also sounds troublesome.
Well, you got to pick one. You can't do both. Well,
so it reminds us of the famous story with Rabbi Gamliel, right?
Yeah, it should remind you of that.
He was confident, he was right, and we criticize him for not following the halakha ruling.
Thank you for bringing that up. We'll return to it later. I don't want to do it right now, but we'll turn to it later. That's definitely a great analogy to draw. We have to figure out what the difference is between what Rabbi Gamliel did to Rabbi Yoshua when he made Rabbi Yoshua carry his bag on Yom Kippur, according to Rabbi Yoshua, who is probably right, and the difference between that and this. We'll have to figure that out. Someone else wanted to say something?
Yeah, was this specifically the second case, someone from the Beit Din, right?
So good eye. So it had two different people that it seems to be talking about. Number one, Talmud, Yada Echad Mehen. Echad Mehen is one of the members of the Sanhedrin. Or simply a student who was, you know, maybe in the back row, or anybody learning in yeshiva, who knows, and he knows what's kosher and what's not kosher.
I don't understand. First time he does what he's meant to do, which is follow the Beit Din, and he's therefore he's patur. Second time he also does what he's meant to do, which is acharei rabim lehatot,
to follow the Beit Din.
Like the Beit Din 70 against 1 right. Said it was fine.
So what's the difference?
He should have done the right thing.
So what's
exactly.
So what's the difference?
Can't see what
you know what the difference is. The difference is that in the first case, the first person doesn't know anything, only knows what the Beis Din tells him. That's all he knows. So we don't expect anything from him. And in the second case, clearly, he knows that the Beis Din is wrong.
How? It's 70 against 1.
He knows.
They paskins.
He knows the facts. He knows the facts. He knows eventually they're going to figure this out.
How do we know that he really knows that the reality is different to what the Beis Din paskins?
Because Yada Echad Mehen. Yada Echad Mehen.
Oh, it doesn't just mean he thought that.
He knows they were wrong.
It means he really knows.
He really knows.
Ah, okay.
He really knows they were wrong. He's chayav to bring a korban chatas. He's not pater. Ze haklal atola ba'atzmo chayav v'atola ba'beis din pater. This is just in general. This is a third clause. Uh-huh. The general rule, about shogeg, a person who relies on the beis din and in the right way is pater, but a person who relies on himself is chayav. We'll have to also figure out what that means. That is the Mishnah. Okay? You see what I mean by meta halacha. This is like, you know, trying to figure out how it is that the halacha works, how Beit Din works, how the Sanhedrin works. So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel comes out and he says, a qualification. Lo'olam ein beis din chayavim ad sheyomru lahem mutarin atem. Now, Shmuel has done something interesting. He's flipped the perspective. Because Shmuel says, Beis Din is not Chayav until they say Mutar Netem. What does he mean by Beis Din is not Chayav?
To bring a Korban.
What kind of Korban? What Korban? So the Mishnah didn't say anything about this, but you guys know that there's something called the Par Ha'alam Davar. And the Par Ha'alam Davar is the Korban that the Beis Din brings, let's say for now to make it simple, the Beis Din brings when they make a mistake like this, and everybody relies on it. So they bring one korban for everybody to cover everybody's shkaga. All right? Let's say. We'll have to figure out exactly how this works if we have time. And Shmuel is pointing out that the only time that they bring that korban is if the Beit Din actually said mutarin atem. They have to say those words, mutarin atem. Rashi says, ad shamu Beit Din letzibur mutarim atem. That's all he says. So, but in the previous one, he says, "Olam lo havi gemar hara de lachayev korban ulagabi yachid de lahavi tola beisin." You can't have a chiyuv korban on the beisin, and you can't. And Rashi ties them together. You can't have the person be able to use tolin al beit din. He can't rely on the beit din, quote unquote, unless the beit din actually said mutarin atem.
Should I focus on the word atem at the plural, as opposed to mutar lecha?
I don't think so. Okay. Maybe it could be useful, but that's what Shmuel says. Someone disagrees with Shmuel and says, Rav Dimi min Arda Amar ad sheyomru lahem mutarin atem lasot. Rav Dimi says, no, that's not good enough. It has to be they say mutarin atem lasot. No, you have to figure out what this means. What does Shmuel mean by mutarin atem? And what does Rav Dimi min Arda mean by mutarin atem lasot? And what's the difference?
What's the procedure? It's just words.
There's got to be a reason.
What?
There's got to be a reason why they're disagreeing on this.
What is Shmuel? Well, let's go step by step. What is Shmuel adding that we didn't already know when he said Ad Shamer Mutarim Atam? What else could they say? What else would they say that would make us think that that a person would be Pater if they violated an Avera based
on said Mutar?
Okay, but what would that mean? What's the interesting mutar? What do we mean? Let's erase the actual words that they say. What do they mean when they say mutar in atem? That they, you know, isn't that a very basic thing? That of course they say mutar in atem. What else could they have said that would have led somebody to believe that it was okay to do it?
They could have not given a verdict at all.
So what? And why would that lead anybody? Why would that lead anybody to do anything?
Because if you're not chayav, then you may have thought that would be okay there. From
the oh, you're saying they didn't even rule on it at all. So it's like Napster before the law came out.
Seems to be okay.
Shtika kahoda.
Okay, it's an interesting shita. I haven't seen that, but that's an interesting idea. Standard shot is that what Shmuel means is that it's not good enough for me to give a shir like this and say it seems from the Gemara that it's mutter to do X or Y. That's not good enough for you guys to go out and go do X or Y. That's not good enough. What has to happen is that, you know, come out with a clear, you know, conclusion. I've learned through the poskim. It seems that the way that we rule in general on this issue is it's mutar. That's what Shmuel requires. Okay? Anything short of that, if you just went to a shir and the rabbi kind of, you know, both sides and then seemed to lean one way or another, that's not good enough. The rabbi has to come out and say, this is the halacha.
It has to be definitive.
So if that's the case, if that's what Shmuel says, then what does Rav Dimi say?
I can imagine a restaurant. Is it kosher? Well, you know, it has a tuda. Should I eat there?
Excellent. Instance, there's a difference between me giving a shir and saying, all right. Yes, you're right. The Tuda is saying mutarim lecha lasot. It says mutarim lecha lasot. Why? Because what's the difference? I could also give a shir, right? And I could come to a clear conclusion. And I could say, all right, look, if you see this kind of trefa on an animal, then it's mutar. I can say that. Right? And that's Shmuel. Right? But there's another case where somebody actually brings me the animal and says, look, here's the trefa. Is this mutar or not? And I rule on this specific case immediately and specifically in front of me, and then I say, yes, you're allowed to eat this meat. That's what Rav Dimi requires. So it has to be something that's specific and immediate. They have to be pointing to a specific case and saying, this is okay. That's what Rav Dimi requires.
Or is it maybe a difference of b'diavad milachatchila?
What's the difference between lasot and mutarim lahem?
Shmuel says mutar.
Mutarim lahem. Mutarim lahem.
That might be b'diavad. You already brought him an animal that's already shechted, let's say. And he says mutarim lahem. Now that's shechted and now that whatever, you don't want to wait till you can eat it. But if you bring him something, you say it's got this moon and you haven't yet shechted it. Maybe you wouldn't say that you can be...
There are a lot of possibilities, but to forestall any more possibilities, the Gemara asks the question itself. It says, my taima, why does Rav Dimi require this? Lefisha lo nigmara hora'a. Because they disagree. What does Shmuel and Rav Dimi disagree about? They disagree about, when do you call it a ruling? When is it called a hora'a that you can rely on? So according to Shmuel, it's called a hora'a already once you say mutar natam. And according to Rav Dimi, it's called the Hora only once you say Mutar Natam Lasot. Now the Gemara is not going to leave it there. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Afa Nami Tinyana. What's Tinyana mean? Mishnah or Braita? Mishnah, how do you know? No, not you. It's two nuns. Two nuns. It's got two nuns. So Amar Abaye Afa Nami Tinyana. In this case, it's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Chazar, it's actually, you'll tell me what this is talking about in a second. Chazar Li'iro, Shana Velimed Kederach Shalimed Patur. Horelasot chayav. What's this talking about? Something very close to our Mishnah. Which mitzvah in the Torah?
Zaken Mamre.
This is Zaken Mamre. This is a rabbi who was, let's say, maybe even on the Sanhedrin. I don't think it matters whether he was on the Sanhedrin or not, but he was, let's say he was on the Sanhedrin, and he was in the minority. And after the Sanhedrin rules, he goes back to his city. So if he teaches what he thinks, he says, here's what I think. The Sanhedrin disagreed, here's what I think, that's fine. Nobody will hold that against him. But if he paskins for somebody, based on his minority view, once the Sanhedrin has ruled, he is considered a Zakeh Mamre, that's Chayav Misa. He's liable for the death penalty. Now, what does he have to say in order to be Chayav? The Mishnah says very clearly. La'asot, this is Hore La'asot, Chayav. He has to actually tell somebody, do this or don't do that. Amar Biaba, Afanami Tinina. I also have a Mishnah that supports this. In this case, the Mishnah comes from Yevamos. Horu la beitin li nasei v'halcha v'kilkila. Here's where you're going to have an issue, Yechezkel. Horu la beitin li nasei v'halcha v'kilkila chayavet b'korban shelo itiru la li'ela li nasei. Very interesting Mishnah. Look at this Mishnah. It says, let's say a woman goes to the beitin and she says, my husband went on a camping trip and he never came back. And the Beit Din was able to be mevarer one way or another. They were convinced that the husband is dead. That's what they're convinced of.
What happened to me at this camping trip?
So the Beit Din says you can remarry. They say you can remarry if you want. If you want to, you're allowed to remarry. You find the husband, you can remarry. We give you permission. She goes and she's mezana. Mezana over here it's kilkala, the Mishnah says. What does kilkala mean? It means she has an extramarital affair. She doesn't get married, she just sleeps with somebody without getting married.
But at the moment, she's not married.
She's not married. Well, according to the ruling. So, but then what happens? The husband shows up.
Yeah, of course.
Husband shows up.
Cast away.
So now what do we say? Do we say that, look,
retroactively,
the wife had the permission of the Beis Din, that they assumed that the husband was dead, she did nothing wrong, she should be putter? No, we don't say that. We say that she's chayevet. Why? Because the Beit Din did not give her a heter to have an extramarital affair. It gave her a heter to get married.
It's the same thing.
What's the difference? Yeah.
Hmm? This is not what they said to do. They didn't say to do that. I think even more.
Surely you can say that you can be mechayev in kedushin.
The next question is, how about the man she had the affair with? Did he just have a relationship with a married woman?
Yes, 100%. So, although, read what Rashi says on Chayevet Korban. After Vahalcha V'kilkela.
Chayevet Korban, לפי שלא הייתה, תולה בביתים. ולקטני, הורו לה ביתים, והיא נעשה, to give a person to marry. They shouldn't give him whatever, permit her.
Shma mina. So this is not considered her lab ma'asot. Why? Because they only told her, you could get married. I'm not saying you're going to get married right now. You could get married. That's not her lab la'asot. They didn't give a full ruling. If, I'm speculating here, if, let's say, she found the man and she went to the Rabbanut and she said, here's who I want to marry, and the Rabbanut said, okay, you have permission to marry, and the Rabbanut sent the rabbi to the wedding, and then 20 minutes before the wedding, halcha v'kilkala, speculating, maybe that would be a different situation. Maybe they would say that would be a problem. Maybe she would be pater from korban.
Why is she attending the korban?
Because she slept with another man while she was married.
That's much worse than.
Yes,
but she's shogeg.
That's so. Here you see that it's gone halfway.
She's shogeg. No, everybody agrees she's shogeg. She didn't do it on purpose. She didn't do it on purpose. No.
You see, she wasn't given any permission. If you go full stream, she was given permission, and there's no problem at all. If she wasn't given permission, then
there's two steps here, though. There's two steps here. In any case, the person violated a mitzvah, right? So, but they violated the mitzvah as a shogeg. Everybody agrees that every time this happens, it's a shogeg. The only question is, do you have to bring the korban or not?
She didn't realize she was
dead. She also thought her husband was dead. She didn't think her husband was dead.
It's more than being dead. She thought she was permitted.
Yeah. So why
is
she shogeg?
She thought she was permitted. Are you saying, why is it not onus?
No, she should be not
either.
Not at all.
Why it's not honest is a good question. It's a good question, but not for now.
It's a shogeg retroactively.
It's not shogeg retroactive. It's shogeg now. What is it called when you do an avera and you didn't know it was an avera? It's called shogeg.
There are a million things that she has to now clarify with the Beit Din on each nikuda. Instead of just them saying,
if the Beit Din says, you should go get married. Then she should go get married, and she won't have to bring a korban anymore.
My point is that they said they're not going to be able to tell her every related ruling.
How many related rulings are there?
Do you have to cover your hair? Do you have to? There's so many things that you have to do.
She would have to ask each one of those questions, and I assume once they answer one of them, then I guess you could grab the other
point.
Ones. But they didn't answer any of them.
They did.
No, they didn't.
They said he's dead, and therefore
the point was that's Shmuel Shita. That's Shmuel Shita. They say, in your case, yeah, you could probably get married because your case theoretically that's a case where you could get married.
No, they
however, they dead. Didn't say we will allow you to marry right now. That's the difference. The difference is that was not a ruling. That's the difference. The point that the Gemara is making is that telling her you are allowed to get married is not a hurrah. They would have to actually say, we will marry you today.
But it says, Hula lehinase.
Right, but that's not, so that's not nigmara hurrah, apparently. Lehinase, that she could get married.
If she wasn't mitkalkelet and she got married, that would be fine?
That would be fine. If the Beit Din was there, if there was a rabbi there, where there was a ruling that said yes, you can marry.
A heter in principle, you can marry. And I want to marry this person. Right. Can I marry that person?
It doesn't sound practical to have to ask the Beit Din on each related.
Again, I doubt that you do have to ask him on each related one. Once you got an answer, an unequivocal, clear answer on one of them, I assume that you could rely on that for everything. Once the Beit Din rules that she gets married, then it means that they have given a ruling that her husband has passed away for all things. I'm speculating, but it seems to be mistaver. Until that point, though, they haven't ruled on anything. They didn't rule on her case. They just told her, I like what Usher said, in principle, yes. But come back to me when you're ready to get married, and we'll reopen the case, and we'll come up with a complete conclusion for your specific case. All they did was they told her, look, in your case, it sounds like it's okay. But that's not good enough.
Right. You can start dating.
In principle, yes, but she signs up with J-Date.
Exactly.
And she finds somebody, and then she comes back.
So that's proof number two. Proof number three. That was Ravina. No, that was Rav Abba. Amaravina, Afanan Nami Tanyana. I also have a Mishnah. Horu Beitin Lavor Alachad Mikol Mitzvot Amurat B'Torah. Let's say that the Beitin says you're allowed to violate one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. What does that mean? That's our Mishnah, right? That's our Mishnah. Horu Beitin Laavor Alachad Mikol. So the lashon of Laavor, that means that they told you to do it, right? They told you. Well, they didn't know, right. They made a mistake. No, they didn't say you violate a mitzvah. They told you to do something, which is a violation of a mitzvah. Right. And the Gemara is assuming that this language of Horu Beitin La'avor is a la'asot language rather than just a mutar natar. Yeah. Rashi says that? Yeah. Okay. Good.
But this whole machlokah is about ein beis din chayav in ad shomri. We're not talking about the person being chayav.
So when we looked at Rashi, we saw that it's two sides of the same coin.
Oh, it's perfect.
And they're both the same. And it's clear from here what they say about the woman. They look at the other side of the coin. I wanted to separate them at the beginning because number one, the Mishnah does, but also because later on it may be relevant to separate them. We'll see. Okay. The Gemara says we got three proofs. Two lo midi. And the Gemara says, you don't see this often, but it says, we don't need any more proofs. It's clear that Rav Dimi is right. Rav Dimi is right and Shmuel is wrong. Now, I'm going to run through the next section of the Gemara because it's basically the same exact thing, just seen from the inverse. It's an Ika de Amri. Whenever you have Ika de Amri in the Gemara, you know that it's basically going to recap all the information that you just saw. It's just a different version of everything you just saw. In this case, it's the inversion. It just has Ika de Amri, Amr Shmuel, Ein Beitin Chayavin, Ad Shomer Lehem, Mutarnetem La'asot. In other words, it attributes Rav Dimi's position now to Shmuel. But it's all going to be the same. Rav Dimi Nardam, Rafilu Mitar Natam Nigmar Hara. Rav Dimi disagrees, and he says what Shmuel said in the first version. Amar Abaye is going to say all the same things. V'alotnan hachi chazar le'iro v'shana olimed k'derach sholimed pater, ho'ru la'asos chayev. Amar Abaye v'alotnan hachi ho'ru la'beiting l'inaseh v'alcha v'kilkula chayev es korban, sh'lo yitiru la'el l'inaseh. Amar Avina v'alotnan hachi ho'ru beizin la'abur alachas mikol mitzvah z'amur z'dora tulo midi. It's the same exact thing, just seen from the opposite side of the field, but the ruling is going to be the same. It has to be mutar natam la'asot. It has to be a specific case. A very conclusive and unequivocal ruling on a specific case.
What do we learn from this Ikra to Amri? What is the point of doing?
I don't have a great answer for you.
I mean, this one specifically, in general, what do we learn from an Ikra to Amri when they're just restating it from another point of view?
Balabatish answer is that it's just that's the way it was. That's they had two versions. They had two versions, and they want to record both versions. Whether or not somebody can come along and learn something extra from this, maybe, I don't know. All right. All right, so this is getting back to the Mishnah, where it says a person comes along and did what they said and was shogig al pihem. The Gemara is going to point out that there's a little bit of a redundancy here. It's a little bit of, it's too verbose. Why? V'nitne, what it should say is, v'asa al pihem. All it has to say is, halach yachid, v'asa al pihem. Shogig lamali. Why does it have to mention that it's shogig? Why is that relevant? It's just asal pm. They did what? Who's shogig over here? Really, it's the Beit Din that's shogig. Yes, he's also shogig, but you don't have to mention it. It's just asal pm. That's all it has to say. So the Gemara says two options. Amar Rava, shogig la'atuye horu Beis Din shechelev mutter v'nischalev lo shelev b'shuman v'chalo putter. Al PM Mamash. This is Rava 1. Okay, Rava number 1, he says that actually it's talking about two different cases. One case is called Asa Al PM, and the other one is called Shagag. What do I mean by that? So he says, Shoge comes to teach you that if Beis Din says that you're allowed to eat Chelev, you know, they looked at something, they thought it was really Shuman. Shuman is regular, is permitted fat. Chelev is forbidden fat. It could be hard to distinguish between the two. So they looked at a piece of fat. They said that it was Shuman. It was really Chelev. So Beis Din said that Chelev is Mutter, v'nit Chalev lo Chelev b'Shuman, v'achalo Pater al Pihem Mamash. Yeah, sorry. There's two different cases over here. One case is where he ate the chelev, a regular case, right? They said that the chelev was mutter, and he ate the chelev. The other case is where they said chelev was mutter, but he had two pieces in front of him. One was actually shuman, and one was this chelev that was forbidden. He went for the shuman, but instead, he accidentally picked it up this chelev. He picked up this chelev, which Beis Din said was mutter anyways, but he didn't actually, he thought that he was picking up the mutter shuma. I know this is getting confusing. But what does it mean? It means it's basically 2 degrees of shogeg, right? Because what happened was, is that he ate this food, which was chelev, but he really thought that it was this mutter meat. Meanwhile, even if it was the other piece, Beit Din had said that that was mutter. So what's the ruling over here? Does he bring a korban chatas? So it's not Shabbat.
It's not Shabbat.
It's the same concept, but it may not apply over here. It doesn't apply over here. First of all, it's not Mitzasek. No, Mitzasek is when you do something. No, Mitzasek is when you make a mistake in your physical action. Here, I don't think it means, it doesn't mean like, whoa, like your hand slipped. It means that you thought that this was the piece A, and it's really piece
got
B.
Confused.
That's not Misasek. That's shogeg.
The way you explained it, I understood.
He had a piece that, you know, he was keeping one piece in the fridge, on one shelf, and the other piece on the other shelf, and the piece that he thought he was going to eat was a piece on the top shelf, and he ended up taking the piece on the bottom shelf because he got confused. Because somebody brought him the wrong piece. There you go. Somebody brought him the wrong piece. That's a better case. Somebody brought him the wrong piece. He thought he was eating one piece and he was really eating the other.
He thought they were both mutar.
Well, if he had given it a second thought, maybe. But no, at the moment, he just thought he was eating Shuman. He thought he was eating piece that everybody agrees that really was, in reality, mutar. So now, what's the ruling on that? So Rava says over here, also covered by Paralam Davar, because at the end of the day, either way, it would have been a mistake. So Rava wants to say it's mutter, not mutter. It's he's pater from a korban. This version of Rava. Meanwhile, the next version of Rava, Ikeda Amri. Here's a useful Ikeda Amri.
Yeah.
Amar Rava Shogi Gal Piyam Hu Depater Al Vinischav Leshchev Veshuman Vachalo Chayav. The other version of Rava says the opposite. The other version of Rava says no. If he, you know, ate the piece that Beit Din said was mutter, and therefore thought it was mutter, and it was really aser, then in that case he's pater from a korban. However, if he ate the piece, that same piece, but he thought it was a different piece, and that was his mistake, he meant to eat a different piece, then he's chayev in a korban. Why do you think that is? We're going to get into it, but why do you think that is? Chatat, again.
Shogeg.
Why not? It's shogeg. He's shogeg either way. It's just a different shkaga. I mean, it's a different mistake that he made. In one case, it wasn't his mistake, it was the Beis Din's mistake. In the other case, it was his mistake. He ate the wrong piece. But either way, he ate chalef.
Because his intention was to eat the shuman.
So? That's good. No. That's a check for
him. That's good.
Right. So the question is, why is he chayav in the korban at the end of the day?
It wasn't a labavaydin.
Okay, good.
I think that's what's missing in the.
Yeah, it would seem because he wasn't relying on the beitin when he ate the food. It's a regular shogeg. So since it's regular shogeg, he can't be called tola bebeitin, which the Mishnah said that's what it all depends on. If you're tola on the beitin, if your mistake is what the beitin said, so then you're chayav, then you're pater. But if your mistake is what you did, then you're pater, then you're chayav. Yes, Mike.
Was it not tolu like the korban when he wasn't sure which one he ate?
Say again.
Is that the korban when you're not sure which piece? What two pieces now?
Asham tolu.
Got mixed up which he ate.
Asham tolu, where you did something.
Yeah.
That Asham Tali is when you did something on purpose, but you're not sure whether you actually did it. That's where you did something Veira Bemezid, but you're not actually sure whether you really did it or not. That's an Asham Talui. You're describing maybe a suffix of a shogeg, which do you bring a korban for a shogeg, for a suffix on a shogeg? Well, I think it depends, probably. I'm not sure. But that's not what the case is over here. You know what you did. You know what you did in this case.
Retrospectively.
Well, yes. That's always the case with shogeg. Yes. It's always retrospective. Yeah. It's always retrospective that you know. Okay. Now, the Gemara says something interesting. By the way, we're not done with this. We're going to deal with this for the rest of the Amud. The Gemara says something interesting. It says, Milta de pshita le larava kamibaya le rami barchama. It's a funny thing. The Gemara says, what was simple to Rava was actually a question to Rami Bar Chama, as we're about to see. Now, it's funny to say it's simple for Rava, because while it might have been simple to Rava, we don't know what Rava held, because of this Ikadami. In other words, one way or another, it was simple to Rava. We just don't know what was simple to Rava. So at least Rami Bar Chama, we know that he was confused. So, Dabai Rami Bar Chama, Horu Beit in Shechel of Mutar Vinitchala Lo B'Shumin V'Achalo Mahu. What's the halacha if you did this? Amarava, according to this version, Amarava Tashma, come in here. Halach Yachid Vasa Shogig al Pihem, Shogig al Pihem Lamali, Lavla Etuye, Horu Beit and Shachelev Mutter Vinitchalev Lochelev Bishuman, Vachalo, Pater. That's the end of what Rabbi says. He's basically using our Mishnah, okay, to choose that he's also Pater in this case, where he was Nitchalev Shuman Vachelev. And Rami Bar Chama responds and says, no, I'm not so sure. Dilma Shogi Gal Piyam Udapata Avlinitchav Lochel B'Shuman. What did Rami Bar Chama say? He said Rava 2. In other words, Rava said Rava 1, and Rami Bar Chama says, yeah, but maybe Rava 2.
So he doesn't have a problem with Rava 1. He only has a problem with Rava 2.
Except, Ike da Amri, Amar Rava Tashma Halach Yachin Vasa Shogi Gal Piyam, I love Shogi Gal Piyam Udapata Avlinitchav Lochel B'Shuman, Vachalo, Chayav Dilma, Chayav, the opposite. This is Rava 2 now. And then Rami Bar Chama responds and says, Dilma, Shogi Gal Piyam, Gal Piyam. Maybe, we don't know. In other words, this whole thing, we don't know. So we don't know. And now it gets even more interesting because it turns out not only did Rava not know, not only are we not sure about what Rava thinks, and not only was Rami Bar Chama not sure, but actually the reason they're not sure is because it's actually a machlokas that precedes them. The Gemara says, and here we get a little bit of clarity, Beplukta. There was a machlokas. Horu Beit in Shechelev Motor Minit Chal Velo Chelev Bishuman Vachalo. Rav Amar Patur, Rav Yochanan Amar Chayav. So it's a machlokas. Rav says it's Patur and Rav Yochanan says Chayav. Now, what's the halacha? Just a pop quiz? How do you know?
It's also
okay, but how do you know in this case?
Because
there's the Rambam Hey. That's where you can always rely on the Rambam. You can almost always rely on the Rambam Hey. It's always good to look it up. The Rambam in Shulchan Aruch Hey. That's the Torah in Mishpat near Mitzvah tells you where to look it up in the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch. You can look it up over there and see if we follow Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan agrees that with Rav 1, and Rav holds like Rav 2, but the halacha is like Rav Yochanan, that you would be pater from a korban even in that case. Meitive. What kind of question is Meitive? Yeah. Contradiction from a higher source. Contradiction from a higher source, which means that if the person that this is being asked upon, which is Rav Yochanan in this case, if he can't answer, he loses. Okay, because Rav Yochanan is an Amora, and we're going to ask a question from a higher source, which means it's either a Mishnah or a Breita, or a Pasuk. If he can't answer, then he's out of the game.
Etive and Meitive, right?
Etive and Meitive, and then at the end it would be Tiyufta, if he loses. If he loses a Tiyufta, if he doesn't lose, then it just continues. So Meitive quotes a Pasuk by Korban Shkaga. Me'am ha'aretz ba'asota. So it says, the full pasuk, we'll read the full pasuk inside. I have it, I think you all have it, or maybe it's cut off. V'im nefesh achat techata b'shkaga, me'am ha'aretz ba'asota, achat b'mitzvot Hashem, asher lo tiasena, v'Hashem. If one person should do an avera b'shogeg, and he brings this korban, so it says, me'am ha'aretz ba'asota, Prat Lamumar. They learn from the mem over here that it's Me'am Ha'aretz, it excludes somebody. It excludes somebody that you might have thought apparently that person would bring a korban chatas for being shogeg. And it turns out that he doesn't. So who does it exclude? It excludes the Mumar. What's a Mumar? Mumar is somebody who's not from. Mumar is somebody who violates either all the mitzvahs or this specific mitzvah. So the Tanakhama says he's excluded from bringing a korban shogeg. Now Rabbi Shimon bar Yosi Amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon Harehu Omer Asher Lo Tiasena Bishgaga VaHashem Ohoda. It says that that you would have to know about it afterwards. Hashav Midiato Mivi Korban Al Shigigato Lo Shav Midiato Einu Mivi Korban Al Shigigato. So Rav Shimon says, what are you talking about, Mumar? Why do you need to find out about Mumar from this pasuk? After all, there's another pasuk that teaches it. Very simply, it says that if a person would be Shav Midiato, then he brings a korban. If he wouldn't, then he doesn't. What does it mean, Shav Midiato? Means that if were you to know that you had made, at the time when you were making the mistake, if you knew you were making a mistake, what would you do?
You wouldn't do it.
So that's the only case where you can be considered a shogeg. If you had the information at the time, you wouldn't have done it. But the mumar, he may have, eaten chelev without knowing. But even if you had told him it was chelev, he still would have eaten it. So he can't be considered a person who brings a korban chatas. He can't be considered that. And Rav Shimon says we learned it from another pasuk, not from this pasuk. Now the bottom line, though, is what's the bottom line? Shav miyidiato. Now this is a big question on Rav Yochanan Shita. How can we answer? How can Rav Yochanan answer this up? You understand what the question is?
Yeah.
What's the question, Alon?
The person who's being doing al pihem shel beitin.
So he.
Even if he knew that he was doing it.
Well, no. If he knew.
If he knew that he was doing it.
And it was wrong.
Then he wouldn't have done it.
Uh-huh. But what about the case that we're interested in?
But the fact that he's Talui Bebeit Din means that he shouldn't have to bring it. And yet, we see that he's Chayav.
No, that's not what he means. Because what we're interested here is the extra case. We're interested in the extra case, the Nitchalev case. The case of regular Shogeg Alpi Beit Din, in other words, the regular case where the Beit Din made a psak.
Yeah.
So then that's one level Shogeg. And that person just needs the information that the Beit Din made a mistake, and then he wouldn't have done it. So that's considered shogeg. Because if he knew that the Beit Din had made a mistake, he wouldn't have done it. If he knew he was eating chelev, then he wouldn't do it. So that's considered shav miyidiato. It's a classic case. The problem case is where Rav Yochanan said, because Rav Yochanan agreed with the first version of Rava, that even if the person had made a mistake of pieces, in other words, he thought he was eating piece A, and he was really eating piece B, and it happened to be that piece B was the chelev that the Beit Din made a mistake about, so you could claim he's not Shav Miyidiato. Because even if you were to tell him, what was his actual mistake? His actual mistake was AB. His actual mistake was he thought he was eating A and he was really eating B. So even if you told him at the time, oh, that piece is B, it's not A, would he still eat it?
Yeah, because
he thought it was mutter. So that's not Shav Mi'idiyato. He's like a mumar. He's not Shav Mi'idiyato, Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan, how do you explain this? He's not Shav Mi'idiyato. Even if he had the facts in front of him, he still would have eaten the piece. So, and he still would have eaten Chalev. So how could he be considered Shav Mi'idiyato? So what's Rav Yochanan going to answer? And he has to answer, otherwise he loses. Because this is a Mishnah.
If there's a difference between Mumar and this case.
What's the key difference?
With this case here, it's a problem with the facts.
Right.
But with the Mumar, it's the problem with the knowledge.
How about the individual?
The attitude,
with
I would
the
say.
Individual.
The attitude.
With the individual, as in with the Mumar, he knows all the facts in terms of this is meat, this is halak. He doesn't know the halakhic way to act upon it.
He knows.
He doesn't care.
But in this, in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, he does care. He just is unaware of the facts of what is.
So
the question is, what is dato? Is dato switching AV or dato is that you know that it's kosher or not kosher?
Good. So clearly, we're assuming right now that what we're interested in, his shkaga was AB. And so, if we can establish that that's the only thing that's of interest, then he's not shav mi'idiyato because he would still eat the chalef.
Right.
But, as the Gemara continues, it says, Rav Papa comes to Rav Yochanan's rescue. Amar Rav Papa, kasav Rav Yochanan, kevin dechim itiyad elu le beidina hadri behu, vuhu nami hadr bei shav mi diyato karina bei. V'chayef. V'chayef. Did I read that wrong? One second. Just see if I read that wrong. Right. So, hold on one second. Rav Yochanan actually said he was patur. Rav Yochanan said he was chayav.
Yeah.
Right, chayav. Now, what's the implication of chayav? Chayav is I did it backwards.
Really, it makes sense to me.
Makes sense to me.
This person too would then refrain from eating the beans. Hold on. Okay. I have to wind it back for a little bit. Okay. Rav Yochanan said he's chayav. Now we got to wonder, why is he chayav? After all, he's not shav mi'idiyato. Why is he not shav mi'idiyato? Yeah, that far we got right. Because he would still eat it. He was still eating even if he knew the mistake was. So what does Rav Papa come and say? Rav Papa comes and says, no.
He wouldn't eat it. If he had known that that was not kosher.
He would not eat it. Because he would also know if... It's just a little bit confusing. Rav Papa basically says, why would you stop at just finding out about AB? You should really stop at finding out about AB and that the Beit Din made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
That's the full thing that you have to tell him. That's the full thing that he needs to know. And if he were to know that he made a mistake about AB and he made a mistake that the Beit Din made a mistake, then he definitely would not eat it. He's not like the Mumar. He's not lacking in attitude. He's lacking in knowledge, like you said. So therefore, he is considered a real shogeg.
They're talking about two mistakes here.
Yeah, and why not? He's real shogeg, and therefore he's chayev. You're saying, why chayev? Because after all, that means that he's tola bebezdin, right? So Rav Yochanan is kind of threading the needle, and he's saying, yeah, but he's still not tola bebezdin, because his real shogeg is still considered
A-B.
It just happens to be that we could still call him a shav miyidiyato, because if he found out about everything, he would still he would not do it. Okay, but his real shogeg is A-B.
How does Rav Yochanan not contradict the
Mishnah,
though?
What? Right, that's the regular case. That's the regular case.
Why? Because he's Tola Bebeitin.
Right, but here he's not Tola Bebeitin. His mistake was A-B. That's why he's Chayav. He made a different mistake. If he had eaten the piece that the Beit Din said not to, that he's allowed to eat,
but
because the Beit Din said it.
I understand the construct of Rabbi Yochanan. He's saying if you say that shav midato means that he would actually know, you could say the same thing here. He would actually know.
But no, shav midato has a different perspective than tala, than what he's tola on. In other words, his actual mistake over here was A-B. But when you wonder about shav miyidiyato, you need to look at the whole picture and say, look, would the guy have eaten this if he knew that it was asur? Is he considered a shogeg at all? Because what does shav miyidiyato tell us? It tells us whether the guy is shogeg. The ramification of saying, oh, we're only going to look at that first level, is to say the guy wasn't even shogeg. But that's not true. He's definitely in the category of shogeg, because in the large scheme of things, if he had all the facts, he wouldn't have done it. That's the definition of shogeg.
You can hear that in the Mishnah.
Right, but
if he had all the facts.
Right, but in the Mishnah, what we're interested in is what was his shkaga? What was his mistake? Because there's a difference between making a mistake about which piece is mutter, which piece is which, and making a mistake about whether or not a certain piece of chelev is chelev or shuman. That's the it's a fine difference, but that's the difference. They're looking at two different evaluations over here. Now, where it gets even more complicated is what the Gemara is about to say about Rav. What does the Gemara say about Rav? It says, so Rav Yochanan has been saved, and he's off to the side. He's fine. Now comes Rava, and Rava says, Mode Rav, Sheinu Mashlem Lov Tzibor, Mai Taima, Amakra Bishkaga, Achi Kulam Bishkaga Achat. When we try to decide whether whether the Par Helem Davar is brought, okay? So what's required? Does the Beit Din bring a Par Helem Davar every time they make a mistake? Like, just whenever they make a mistake, they bring a Par Helem Davar? Is that
someone did it? Someone asks upon it.
How many people have to ask that?
If it's Tibor acts on it.
A rove, evidently.
So it has to be a rove of the Tibor that actually acts upon it in order for them to bring a Korban. What happens if it's 50-50? 50% of Bnei Yisrael have done this, and 50% of the Bnei Yisrael still have not. And then this guy makes a mistake between the shelves in his fridge and ends up eating what's really chalif, but because of this mistake. Now, Rav said that he is patur, right? Mm-hmm. Which means that he is part of the thing, right?
He's full of the baby.
But Rav still says, though, that the Beit Din does not bring the Par Helem Davar in that case. He cannot add to the minyan. He doesn't add to the minyan. Why? Because of Gzeiras HaKasuv, it says in the Pasuk where it talks about Par Helem Davar, in the Pasuk where it talks about Shkaga, it says, Adju Kulan Bishkaga Achat. Everybody has to make the same mistake. And these are two different Shkagot. One shkaga is the actual mistake that Beit Din made, and the other shkaga is the mistake that this guy made, which is not the same. So, in order for them to be chayav in this korban, it has to be one shkaga, right? So that's why I said Rav is going to make things even more confusing. Okay, now Rav Yochanan is definitely on board with that, because Rav Yochanan doesn't even think that this guy is putter. He thinks he's chayav, but this is even according to Rav, who thinks that he's putter. He's putter because he's tola beBeit Din. But he doesn't join the Par Helem Davar. This is why I wanted to separate them. Okay? Because it's not, you know, they're not Habaha Talia completely. Because Rav just separated them. Rav just said, and everybody says, everybody agrees, that if less than 50%, 51% of Bnei Yisrael make the mistake, then while you're putter, Beit Din brings no parhel and davar. Right? Which can be confusing. Okay. So, I want to go a little bit further before we see the sheet. We don't have a lot of time. You know what? We won't go any further. Let's go to the sheet. Because I want to hit this part. This is what I think those Yechezkel brought up before. Issue number one. This is public enemy number one right here. We're looking at Ramban. We have the same Ramban in his Chidushim on the Torah in the sugya of Rosh Chodesh, where he says, in the sugya of Yamin U'Smol. So this Ramban says the same thing over here and there, and there are other various Rambans that seem to branch out of this idea, and we're going to have to take a look at them very carefully. This is Hasagos of the Ramban to the Sefer Mitzvot in the Shorashim. So the Rambam wrote a book called Sefer Mitzvot, and before he started listing the Mitzvot, I'm talking about Maimonides now, he wrote rules for how he was going to list them. You know, what mitzvot he's going to count, what mitzvot he's not going to count, what mitzvot get broken up, what mitzvot get joined together. He wrote all these rules. So in there, the Ramban wrote a critique and disagreed with some of them and agreed with others.
What's the translation of the word hasagot?
Well, gloss, which is not a word that we use. I guess you'd say addendum or...
An index?
No.
It's
more like a commentary.
Yeah, observations. No, it's
reservations.
Writing in the margin.
Okay.
Yeah. Ki haTorah nitna lanu al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu b'chtav v'galui hu shelo yishtavu adeot b'chol advarim. The Torah was given to us in writing, and it's clear that people are going to have different perspectives on things. B'chol advarim anu ladim v'chatach lanu yitbarach adin shenishma lebeit din agadol b'kol ma sheyomru bein shekiblu perushu mimenu o sheyomru ken mimashma lot haTorah v'kavaratam lefi da'atam. And so Hashem said, look, everybody can come up with different understandings, perspectives, opinions about what the Torah says. So Hashem said, you have to follow Sanhedrin. They make the final decision on everything, and whatever they say you do, you have to do. Ki al mashmaut shalem u mitzvah v'natan lanu haTorah, there's a mitzvah like this. V'zehu shem mash amru. Afilu omrim lecha limin shu small shu yamin ve limin shu small shekach ya mitzvah lanu me'adon haTorah yitaleh shelo yomar ba'al ha'machloket heach atir la'atzmi zeh v'anochi ha'yodeh bevadai shehem tovim v'hinei nomer l'kach ata mitzvah. Okay, so here's the problem. So Ramban says that you have to always listen to the Sanhedrin. It doesn't matter whether they're telling you that what's left is right and what's right is left. You have to listen to them, and even if you think that they're wrong, you still have to follow what they said.
So this is like Gemara.
Now, you all knew that Ramban said this, because, you know, that Rashi says this, you know, at least it seems to say this on the Torah, right? He quotes the same Midrash, Shalmin, Shu, Small, Val, Small, Shu, Yamin. You knew the Ramban said this, you knew Rashi said this, you all learned this when you were kids. Even if you think they're wrong, they're right. Okay, so now what do we do? So he says, Ukiinyan Shinahag Rabbi Yeshua Ragamli Yom Kippur. There you go. Zachary Cheskel quoted, Shechaliot Bechashbona, Kamoshi Huskar, Bimasachas Rosh Hashanah. There you go. Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Rav Gamliel tells Rabbi Yeshua to go on a walk and carry things on Yom Kippur, which you're not allowed to do. And he takes that Gemara and he says, this is connected to Al Yamin, Shu Small, Bal Small, Shu Yamin. Rav Gamliel is the head of the Beit Din. Rabbi Yeshua has to listen to him. Okay, fine. But we have a problem. V'yesh bazeh t'nai. Yitbonena bo amistakel b'rishon l'horiyot b'ayin yafeh. Take a look at Horios. Horios is a problem. First off, what happens if you lived in the time of the Sanhedrin and the Beit Din came up with a psak about chelev, let's say, and you think that they're wrong, they were matir, and you think that it's actually asur? Ain alav mitzvah lishmo b'divrei chachamim. There is no mitzvah. Ve'ino rashai lahatir la'atzmo hadavar ha'asur lo. Aval yinhag chomer la'atzmo. You have to be machmir.
In the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, doesn't Rabbi Akiva have a comment there?
Yeah, he says you have to listen to them, and for a specific reason, which I want to revisit in a minute after we finish this Ramban.
We're talking about a chomer l'atzmo. He's not
he has to be machmir for himself.
He's not imposing this chomer on anybody else.
If he tells everybody else about it, he'd get in big trouble. But for himself, he at least can do this.
So why even bring it?
What do you mean?
Why even go to the Sanhedrin? If they unanimously all say it's okay, but he has to be mocking on himself and he suspects that it's us all, then just don't go to the Sanhedrin at all.
Actually, it doesn't. What is that? I don't understand what you mean.
No, the Ramban's saying in this case he shouldn't have gone to the Sanhedrin at all. There's no point in him going to the Sanhedrin because he should have.
Why do you think he went to the Sanhedrin?
He didn't know.
Isn't that our case from the Mishnah that Ramban's being?
No, it is one of the
members. He may be a member of the Mishnah, he may have heard about their Pesach. He's not going to the Sanhedrin, but he knows what they said. Okay. He knows what they said. It was published in the newspapers, it was in the blog. Everybody knows that the brackle chicken is mutter. Everybody said the brackle chicken is mutter, but you know for sure that the brackle chicken is not. You guys know what the brackle chicken is, yeah? A few years ago, this chicken they found is like supposedly the first chicken. Supposedly like the prime chicken. So, what? Like the chicken. It is chicken. It's chicken. And they found that, I don't know how they decided this, but they decided this. Chicken. And so, like, half the Jewish world said, okay, only this chicken is mutter. I shouldn't say half. A third of the Jewish world said, only this chicken is mutter. A third of the world said, that chicken is usser. And then another third said, all chickens are mutter. Actually, that was a much bigger third. That was like everybody. That was like 90%. So let's say you know, though, no, only the brackle chicken is mutter. But I'm not gonna tell everybody else that because the Beit Din already decided, but I'm not going to eat brackle chicken myself. That's what you should do. But what happens if you don't? What happens if you eat brackle chicken, even though you know that it's usser? So based on the Ramban, first comments, it seems like you should be listening to the Beit Din.
He's over here.
And you should, no, his first comments, you should be listening to the Beit Din, you should eat it. But according to his second comments, and based on the Gemara, you should not eat it. The Gemara says you should not eat it. You know that it's usher.
No, even based on the first comment, it doesn't mean I should eat it. I'm allowed to impose any.
He said you have to listen to the Beit Din.
But I'm allowed to impose any chumra on myself.
Interesting. So you're saying
if the Rabbanut says that restaurant is kosher, I can decide I'm not going into that restaurant.
Okay, very interesting. So you're claiming that.
Have to be for supper and I serve that chicken.
You're not going to eat it. So you're saying.
And if you tell me.
So Dad, you're saying that. That the Ramban's distinction is going to be between Chumra and Kula. If the Beit Din said it's Mutter and you think it's Asur, you should be Machmir. And you're not violating anything by being Machmir. What's wrong with that? Everybody can be Machmir. You can be Machmir on something. But what happens if it's the other way? What happens if the Beit Din says something is Asur and you think it's Mutter?
So public or private.
So you could also be Machmir in that case. There's nothing wrong. What do you ever lose by being Machmir, right? Now, there are cases where you have to pick a side. For example, Yom Kippur,
yeah.
You have to pick a side.
Only one.
So you get in trouble over there, right? So you get in trouble over there. So what's he going to do? B'kol shekein imayam michlal Sanhedrin yoshiv imayin. And for sure, if he was a member of the Sanhedrin, v'yeshalav. Here he says v'yeshalav la'bol lifneim below maritano tavlehem. Here's what the Ramban really says. By the way, he has to go to the Beit Din. And he has to tell them what he thinks.
It's different
though. And here's the key line. I don't know why I stopped underlining it, because this is probably the most important part. Here's the key line. I stopped underlining. I have no idea why. The key line is, after arguing back and forth with the Beit Din, telling all the proofs why they're wrong, im hiskimu rubam bebitul adatahu shamar, if they argue with him and they disprove him, then he should do what they say. Now, the Ramban leaves one circumstance open. What happens if he goes to the Beit Din and he argues with them and they stand by what they said, but he remains unconvinced? Now what does he do? The Ramban doesn't seem to deal with that situation. It says that he should go to the Beit Din, he should argue, and with the hope that eventually the truth will out, and then one way or another, he'll know what to do. But what happens if it doesn't happen? So there you go. He seems to say that in that situation, you have to listen to them. Now what does he do with the Gemara though? So he seems to be assuming, as we're going to see, that, take a look at the Maritz Chayot. Maritzchayot says, Gemara Ho Rebeit Din Shechel Mutter, and he quotes the Be'er Sheva, who quotes the Sifri about Yamin Shu Smol. And he says, the Maritzchayot, I believe, was a predecessor of the Maharal in Prague, if I'm not mistaken. He wrote quite a bit. That's quoted. So it says, Ayin Ramban, he says, look in the Ramban, the Yashiv Stira Misugya. So the Maritz Chiyot seems to say the opposite of the Ramban, though. At some point he says, if you're not one of the Sanhedrin, you weren't there, and you can't get into the chamber. So you're left alone to decide what to do. What should you do? You follow your conscience. You don't listen to the
Beit Din. That's what the Gemara says.
That's what the Gemara says, but that's not what the Ramban says. The Rashash as well. The Rashash was, I believe, a librarian. No, he was a businessman. Rashash was a business. What?
Sharabi.
Rashash was a Sharabi?
Yeah.
I
don't know. Wasn't he the Sharabi?
I thought he was Ashkenazi. I thought. You can look it up. Somebody can look it up. Rashash, he definitely wasn't a full-time Talmud Chacham. V'katayi b'mitzah lishmoa b'divrei Chachamim. L'chora ha'emes k'havi v'imeinu shomea v'izakin mamrei v'amr b'sifri lo tasur. But if he doesn't listen, he's a zakin mamrei. So what do you mean? V'shlomer d'mikom akam v'chuyav u'lisa v'lite nimayim. This is like what the Ramban says. He has to argue with them. V'yivar lehem tuotam. Show them. Point out what the mistake is. V'im gam achar ze yachziku b'dautam. V'lo yachzu b'hem. This is what the Ramban says. If at the end of the day they won't listen to him, then he has to do what they say. Okay, very good. Very good. So at least the Rashash explicitly says what the Ramban must hold. The Ramban must hold that the Gemara in Horiyot is an aborted situation. In other words, it's talking about a phase before the guy went to the Beit Din. Sorry, it's talking about a phase before the guy went to the Beit Din. That's what it's talking about. Before the guy went to the Beit Din. In other words, from the Ramban's, according to the Rashash, the Ramban's view is like this. Beit Din comes out with a psak that a certain piece of meat is shuman and not chalef. You happen to know, you're sitting in your house, you find it on your phone, you're looking at a Jewish blog and you find on your phone that they said that, and you happen to know without a shadow of a doubt that it's really chalef. What do you do right now? Machmir. You're machmir. And you have to be machmir, and if you're not, if you eat it, what happens? You're chayev achatas. But what do you do next? You make a pilgrimage to Yerushalayim. You bang on the door until they let you in. Into Lishkat HaKazit in Sanhedrin. Yeah. What?
I'm still getting back to Chayav HaKatas. It's not for Shogeg. You're eating this on purpose. Why is it a Khatas?
Oh, you're Chayav. It's not a Khatas. You're right. It's not a Khatas.
You're over on purpose. On Bemesid.
I'll explain. It's actually you are chayav achatas. Why? See, we didn't read it. The Gemara on the other side, which is important, I'll tell you outside. Basically, it says, why are you chayav achatas? Why is it chayav achatas? Exactly your question, Dad. Yes. It says because what happened? What happened is that what's the reason that you're eating it? What's the reason that you're eating it?
Because you're certainly.
Because you are no. What's the reason that you are eating it?
Because
you're told al beitin. Because you're told al beitin.
Oh, okay.
So why is that lechatas? So the Gemara says that's not shogeg, it's mazid. What do you mean? So it says you were shogeg, and that's if you look at the Dibra Maskil of the Rashash, you were shogeg in the mitzvah lishma b'divrei chachamim. You thought that you had a mitzvah to lishma b'divrei chachamim that overrode your own conscience. Your shogeg was that you, even though you knew that this was chelev, you thought that you were still allowed to eat it because, just like everybody else, you're relying on the Beit Din. That's what you thought. Shalom Sharabi. Yeah, you're right.
There's three.
And what was he? Shabbat. No, but this is not the Rashash, though.
Shalom Sharabi, yeah. Sharabi, and there's a Rashash Shmo Starson.
So why didn't he like him? No, this can't be the same one.
It's a different Rashash?
It can't be the same one.
Okay.
Find the other Rashash.
Yeah.
Is there another Rashash? Vilna.
There's three.
Vilna. What's the Vilna one?
Shmo Starson.
What does he do? What's his life like? What's his life like? What did he do? Come on, Wikipedia. Did it say what he did for them? Let us know. Anyways, so is that clear though? I'm sorry, we didn't do the other side of the page that explained why he was shogeg. He's shogeg in the mitzvah of lishma divrei chachamim. Lo tasur.
Yeah, he did that.
But he made a mistake. He thought that he was supposed to listen to the chachamim even against what he knew was mutter. That was his shkaga. He thought that he was supposed to.
But he thought doing that mitzvah.
No, he doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. What's the definition of shogeg? When you do something wrong, okay, but you didn't think it was wrong. No, he knows that it's chaylev.
He's ignorant of the
halakha. But he thinks that he's supposed to, that he's still allowed to. He thinks it's mutter. He knows it's chaylev, but he thinks it's mutter because the rabbi said it's mutter. Right, he's told that. He's told al piyam, but he's wrong to do that. He's wrong to do that. That's a shkaga.
In Pirkei Avos, we say about aser l'charav, right?
Yeah.
And this whole point is the ultimate thing is for us to be the rav, is for us to make the
make
the
yourself a rav.
That's nice.
Yeah, but they were upset.
That's nice. No, it's nice. I think that's nice. That's what you guys are doing in the kolah. Right. It's nice. But what's the point over here? So again, let me just break it down. So shlav one, you hear about the psak. You're sitting in your room, you're saying, these crazy rabbis, they don't know anything. Hopefully you don't say that, but you say, these mistaken rabbis, they don't know this one thing that I know. Okay, fine. So for now, what do? You can't eat the chalef. If you eat the chalef, just because the rabbi said that you're allowed to, then you're chayv achatas. What's your next step? You drive to Yerushalayim, you bang on the door of the Lishkat HaKasid, you get yourself into the room, and you start arguing with them. Now what happens? If they end up agreeing with you, they put out a kol kore, they say you're not allowed to eat this chalef. If they disagree with you, and they convince you, then also, for now, you're going to eat the chalef, and it's going to be mutter for you to eat the chalef because you're convinced, and then you're going to find out later that it was really chalef, so you're going to be really angry, but at least you're going to be pater from echatas because it was their fault. Yeah. But the other option is that they argue with you. What?
Yeah.
That's if you were convinced by them. But the other option is they remain unconvinced by you and you remain unconvinced by them. So you go home. And what do you do now? Now what do you do? The Ramban says you listen to them. And that's what the Rashash says. How do we explain our Gemara? Because our Gemara is talking about when you were sitting at home reading it on your phone. That's what the Ramban would say. He'd say, you're sitting at home, you found out about it. Now you're not allowed to eat. That's what the Gemara means. But the moment that you go to the Beit Din and you clarify with them and they still disagree with you, now you actually have a mitzvah lishmol l'divrei chachamim.
You have to eat it, you still be machmir.
You could still be machmir, but if you do eat it, you'd be pater. That's what Ramban says. Now,
and then you'd be mixed up to the 50%.
This is a radical view. You don't have to say this, right? Because there's other ways to read the Mishnah. The midrash, that says, al min shu small, val small shu yamin. It could just be that what you think is small and what you think is yamin. But if you really, really knew, this is what Rav Shachter always says. He says he doesn't understand this Ramban. And the raya of the Ramban, the raya of the Yecheskel, that Yecheskel said before. What about Rambam and Rabbi Yeshua, where the Gemara seems to clearly say that Rabbi Yeshua did the right thing, and look, he violated Yom Kippur. Why was that okay? Why was that? And he knew that he was right.
Because that was the second phase. That was after he had already talked to them. And the Mishnah says that he tried talking to him. He said, I don't agree with you, but when you won't, Yom Kippur is.
That seems to be how the Ramban reads it. But there's another way to read it.
Rabbi Yeshua is a big rab. People are going to look at him, and they're going to say, it's weakening the Beit Din. It's not the same.
That's also an answer. Okay,
it's fair
enough.
I don't
know.
Right?
I don't know. It's pretty chamor.
It's
Yom Kippur, though. So there's a much simpler answer. The answer is that Rosh Chodesh is different. Why is Rosh Chodesh different? That was the issue. The issue was when was Rosh Chodesh?
Yeah, but it was.
Attend. It says you are the ones who decide Rosh Chodesh. So all Rabbi Yeshua, his whole cheshbon, which is actually what. Who said it before? Who talked to Rabbi Yeshua? Who gave him a talk, pep talk before he did it?
Rabbi Kiva.
What did Rabbi Kiva tell Rabbi Yeshua? This is what he told him. He told him, Atem, you're the ones who decide Rosh Chodesh. He didn't say to him, Yamin Shu Smol Vos Smol Shu Yamin. That's not what Rabbi Kiva told Rabbi Yeshua. He told him, Beit Din gets to decide when Rosh Chodesh is. And it doesn't matter whether they're right or they're wrong.
No, he said, Rabbi Kiva says that every Beis Din is viable, even a three-man. I can't remember the word anymore, but he says that even...
What he says, if I'm not mistaken, when you look it up in that Mishnah, what he says is, Beit Din is the one who decides when Rosh Chodesh is, which effectively decides when Yom Kippur is. Rabbi Yeshua, you think you're right because you're doing it on your calculation. You may be right. You may actually... You're likely right. The Mishnah seems to assume that Rabbi Yeshua was much more proficient in the matter of, deciding astronomical things. But doesn't matter who's right, because in this one case of Rosh Chodesh, it's left up to the Beit Din. But that doesn't mean that that's true of everything. They don't get to decide how science works. They don't get to decide, whether a piece of meat is Shuman or Chalev. They get to rule on it, but they're not necessarily always right. So Ramban Zariah over here is very, Rav Shechter always says this, that's how I know it. It's a little bit suspect over here. And the standard understanding is not this way, not like the Ramban.
But there's another machlok between Rav Yoshua and Rav Levi.
They have at least three.
Okay.
But Arvid, but that's a halachic machlok, and fine. There's no reality over there. That's also not the same thing. It's just a matter of argumentation.
It's up to
the Beit Din, yeah. I mean, they're deciding whether Arvit is Rashut or Chova. It's not the same thing as deciding whether or not the moon is visible or not.
What about the Tanur of
the... Tanur of Achnai, Lo B'Shamayimi? Yeah, also. But that's also, think about it. It's like, it's a halachic machlokas. The Beit Din has to come to a decision about something halachic. Not reality, though. Chilev and Shuman, I'm assuming over here, it's either Chilev or it's Shuman. It's not up for debate. They realize that... What does it mean that they realize they made a mistake? It means they made a mistake in facts, in Metzias. That's what it means. Right? Almost definitely. It's hard to understand how they could have made a mistake halachically and then go back on it. I mean, it's possible, I guess, but that doesn't seem to be what's happening. So that's part of the sugya. We have a little bit more time. Take a look at the next thing over here. There's another issue that comes up over here. Tosas Rush. The Tosas Rush brings down a machlokas between him and the Ramah. That's of Meir Abulafia, I believe, the Yad Ramah. So he says, Ein Beit Din Chayavin Ad Shiyom Lehem Mutar Netem. It's going back to machlokas between Shmuel and Rav Dimi. Perish Sheishalu LeBeit Din Ma'anu LeEchol Chelev. Are we allowed to eat chilev? She al gabei hakeba. Can we eat the chilev that's on the keba? This specific type of chilev. Yomer lehem, mutarin atem le'echol. Ulafuke, what's it coming to exclude? I'm shenu v'lamdu lehem v'beit midrash, mutar d'lo havi hora. This is what I said to you before, right? What's Shmuel's distinction? Shmuel's distinction is whether it was simply, you know, they learned in a shir that you know, it should be mutar. Versus when the Beit Din actually makes a declaration that, you know, this kind of meat is mutar. If that's the case, then what's the difference between mutar natem and mutar natem lasot? The Rama is unimpressed. He says, if you're right, then what is the difference between mutar natem and mutar natem lasot? If they said in a you know, published psak or something like that, that this kind of chelev is mutar, then what's the difference between that and saying this specific piece is mutar? Who perish to mutar natem to kamar Shmuel, lo
mai rishe shalom. It's a different question we're asking, though, over here. We're not asking about a specific meat. We're asking whether chelev by the keva is mutar. We're not showing a piece of chelev here and saying, is this three piece mutar? That's the distinction we made when we learned the Mishnah.
So that was, well, right. So
this is a general question. Is the chelev by the keva mutar?
Right.
But in the Mishnah, we had a different approach. We asked, we presented the Bezin with a specific piece of chelev, and we said, is this piece of chelev mutar?
Right, so the Rama doesn't understand why there's a difference between the Beit Din saying, chelev al-gabei akeba is mutar, versus them saying, this piece of meat is mutar. He doesn't understand what the difference is.
Okay.
They said, what should we eat? It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't ask, are we allowed to eat it? Because then you're saying it is dependent upon the question. Because if the question is phrased in the right way, then the person answering knows that they're going to act upon what he says, and it doesn't matter how he says it, they're going to act upon how he says. And he has to be careful how he says it. And so in that case, when he says mutarim atem, it's as if he said to them, yes, you can eat it, and they can rely on that. Ella, ma'iri sheshalu lehem ma'anu lehorot heter b'chilev shal gav akeba v'amu lehem mutarim etem dav agav de lehoru otam la'asot ella lehorot ha'cherim hora ha'ave. So he says, The Ramah says that what Shmuel was talking about is when the Beit Din said, you can tell everybody that you're allowed to teach this, which is like a step removed. And not that they said that you could actually do it. In other words, they said, you can tell everybody that you're allowed to teach this. A little bit strange. And he says, and in fact, the Tosfos Rashi says, V'loni really. He says, I don't understand. So finally, the Tosfos Rashi says, Nira li, the Farish Kahay de Tanya Baba Basra, over there it says, Ein lemeid in halacha lo mipi Talmud, lo mipi ma'asa, ad shirmo halacha lema'asa. Sha'al v'amru lo halacha lema'asa, yelech v'yasa. You have to, the question has to be lema'asa, and the answer has to be lema'asa. He has to say, go do that. In other words, if you were to come and ask me, what's the halacha legabei taking medicine on Shabbos? And I say, I don't know, if you have a headache. He said, what's the halacha legabei taking a medicine on Shabbos when you have a really bad headache? And I say, mutter. Is that a psak? Is that something you would rely on? So the Tosfos Rashi says, his point is, no, that's not a psak. Because all he said is the halacha is that way. What do you have to do in order to get me to actually say something you would rely on?
Can I
take medicine on Shabbos? That's what he says over here. Take a look. He says, Klomar, afilim yishalo yim halacha kach v'yom halacha kein, lo yismukha alaseh. Don't suffice with that. La'asot ma'asa. Ad shi'yishalo yimenu pam shenit b'shat ma'asa. In, you know, b'shat ma'asa, when it happens. Because what happens? You come over to me and you say, what's the halacha legabei taking medicine on Shabbos when you have a really bad headache? So I, you know, b'shlof, I just say, yeah, that's mutter. That's not, I didn't take you seriously. I thought you were just asking me, what's the halacha? So I'm not going to take you seriously. But if somebody comes to me on Shabbos, they have a really bad headache, they say, am I allowed to take medicine? Then I know that whatever I tell them, they're going to do. That's what's required, according to the Tosfos Rashi. You have to have that the Mori Hara knows that what he's going to say to do, you're going to do right now.
It's not the same as the Sanhedrin.
What do you mean?
Because the Sanhedrin is paskening for all of Klal Yisrael. It's going to be publicized. And here's one person coming up to you.
You're saying there's no case where the Sanhedrin could actually think to themselves, nobody's going to take us seriously?
Exactly.
And there's no rov.
There's always consequences of their words.
Not necessarily true. Not necessarily true. I'll tell you why. Open up any English sefer. Open up any English halacha sefer. And, you know, there's always stuff at the top. And there's always stuff in the bottom. The bottom is all in the korot. Right? And then almost always at the top, when it's a particularly difficult sugya, because when you look down, you see that, you know, Rosh Hashanah says this, or Moshe says that. What do you see at the top? After it finishes telling you, you know, a little bit of about the situation, what does it say? After saying, you know, this is mutter, what does it say? Ask your local Orthodox.
No, that's fine, but still
the Sanhedrin could put out the same pamphlet. It could say, we paskin that in general this is the case. However, you have to realize that, you know,
there could be extra factors that could overrule the Sanhedrin.
They're not going to overrule the Sanhedrin. It could be that the Sanhedrin came out with a pamphlet that says this is mutar, but there may be situations that they don't list that it's asur, because there's too many variables. Oh, cool. So they say in general we paskin, let's say the Sanhedrin says recha milta. General principle, this is the halacha. Okay? But you think you're going to take that and you're going to use it in all kinds of different situations and rely on that? No, you can't do that.
But is that likely the Sanhedrin would do that? More likely the Sanhedrin would...
I wasn't there.
Would write privately to the leaders and say, this is the general psak.
I have no idea.
I mean, in a book, people could just learn it for the sake of learning. It isn't necessarily for psak, but the whole purpose of the Sanhedrin is to...
It's a halacha sefer. People look in it to know what to do. And yet, there's always a caveat that, you know, you need to do a little bit more work in order to figure out what to do. And when there's any question, you should go ask a person a specific shayla. Sometimes the book is good enough and you can rely on it. Sometimes it's not.
One thing you said before is la'arot la'acharim.
What?
That's like, if someone came and said, I'm going to teach this. Tell me what is the halacha.
Right, that's what the Ramah says. Right.
I think there's nothing you take more seriously than that.
Right.
Because that's, now you're going to be mefitzmet about that. It's not just for you personally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a weird language. Tosafot Rashi disagrees. I'll just tell you outside one other thing that's going on over here. When we talked about Rav and Rav Yochanan, right? That whole machloket over there, what was that about? That huge machloket we have at the end, where the person made a mistake between shelves, A and B. Rav says that you're a pater, you're still considered part of the larger shogeg al pi beitin, and Rav Yochanan disagrees. What are they arguing about? What's going on? So Rav Yaakov Kanievsky, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky's father, is Stipe Lagon. So in his Kilas Yaakov, so he lays it out as a classic chakira over here, which is used in other ways, in other places. He says, Rav and Rav Yochanan are arguing about a very, very basic thing. When a person is chayav achatas for shgaga, why is he chayav? He made a mistake. Person didn't know that you're not allowed to, you know, pick fruit on Shabbos, so when he picked the fruit from his tree, now he's having a chorban chatas. He gets, I didn't know. What's the problem? I didn't know.
You should have known before about
it. It's a privilege.
So there's two options.
Ashkafically, you know, we say that there are consequences to things that we do. If somebody takes drugs so and they don't realize that it's drugs, it affects their body nonetheless.
Fantastic. You know what just happened right now? Meir and Yecheskel just demonstrated for us the machlokes Rav and Rav Yochanan according to the Stipe Lagon. Kol hakavod. And in fact, two days in the Ramban. Two pinches in the Ramban. Here's the machlokes. Rav, let's see if I get it right. I wrote it down. Rav, he says the line, Rav nira desover sheikar chiyuv hakapara ba'al hashkaga shek shagag vita'a mishum dehavale lemedak velo lavo lidei taut. Says what Meir says. Says, where's the shkaga? The shkaga is that you should have known. You're responsible. It says the reason why you bring a korban chatas is because you're responsible for not knowing, for making the mistake.
Ignorance is not an excuse.
That's why you're responsible. And therefore, if the reason is because you're responsible, right? So then, when you did it because of the Beit Din, right? Then you're pater. Over here too, even if you would have known, right? Even if you would have been medak, you still would have not known because it's the Beit Din fault. You can't blame somebody for eating chaylev if the Beit Din told him that it's mutter. There's no havalei the medak over there. Okay? And it's the same true for when you make a mistake with the pieces. That's however, Rav Yochanan disagrees.
That's the same
principle. Right. But Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan says, Yecheskel says, he says, no, there's something metaphysical over here. When you do an Aveira, there's a consequence. I don't know if Yecheskel would say it's quite this way, but the way the Rabban says is that there's a pagam and you're not in your neshama. When you eat chazir, even if you do it by accident, when you violate Shabbat, even if you do it by accident, there's a consequence to that. Something happens to you.
So why are you pater in the first case of the Mishnah?
Oh, so good. So one argument might be to say that you're not, you are pater for being a korban. But it doesn't mean that you don't need kapara. So where are you going to get the kapara from? So generally speaking, when the Beit Din brings their Paralam Davar, that's where you get the kapara from. Okay? In other words, what role does the Paralam Davar play? It gives you kapara. Okay?
That's only if it's
what?
The majority.
Right. Then we get into complicated waters when we talk about the majority. That's fine. But what does it mean for Rav Yochanan, though? It means that if you made a mistake, though, that you made a mistake because you switched the pieces, right? At the end of the day, you did an Aveira. And the Beit Din's Korban is not going to cover you because Havalei LeMedak. Because it's a different mistake that you made. It's not going to cover, the Kapara for that is not going to cover this because your mistake was different. So that's what he says. He says, Etza Masa Aveira Sha'asa. That's what it is. Ain lo kaparat korban. There's no kaparat from the korban. Aval ahecha shehu shogeg chayav korban. Afilu k'sheina taot tzibah lachet. Okay, kigon hacha. Sharam ilu yada shezecheliv haya ochlo al piyara. That's why you have to bring your own korban for this because it's a different kind of kaparat over here. He brings this, you know, this impacts later on, by the way. This refrain at the bottom that I brought that we don't have time to look through. He talks about what happens. This is a fascinating case that the Rambam talks about. What happens if the Beit Din paskins that a piece of chaylev, right, and everybody does it. Everybody, you know, everybody gets in on the action. They all eat chaylev, and then the Beit Din comes out with a kol kore saying that we made a mistake, and they bring a par halam davar and shalom al Yisrael. Except you slept through the whole thing, and you're going through your newsfeed, and you read that the Beit Din said that it was mutter, and you say, "Wow, awesome! I have a piece like that in the fridge. I'm really hungry." Go, you eat the piece. And only afterwards do you get to the second kol kore that said that it was mutter. In other words, you were told on the Beit Din
after
they already brought the korban. Now it happens. Now it happens. So the Rambam says that you're putter. That's very strange. That you could be putter. The Rambam says you're putter. This is very strange. What? Exactly. Exactly. So that's what Rav Chaim says on the bottom. He says, in terms of, he says over here, I actually outlined, he says, if we talk about the etzem hachiyuv shel korban tzibur, bazeh vade dechol kol shechat l'achar shevi o tzibur kaparatan, eino mitzdarif la tzibur, leinian etzem hachovas korban. In terms of the korban, hold on, did I get it right? Hold on one second. Let's see what's going on. The KM course korban. Oh, I'm sorry, one second. Did I get it wrong? Oh, he says you're chayev. No, I'm right. Daf gimel, dafil la'achas shitkabur tzibur. This is the Gemara that says this. Even after the tzibur does it, yachid shas al piora pater. Gemara says it. Very korban inu mechaper al haba, vayachid b'fnei atzmo halo havi. That's his problem. So his answer is that im banu ladin le'inyan etzem chiyuv shel korban tzibur. You can't be tola on the parallel davar. Because the tzibur doesn't have the chiyuv anymore. So what's the pshat? The pshat is like this. At the end of the day, you're told of a beis din. Right? You're told of a beis din. That's you thought that the beis din said that it was mutter. So you're still pater from your korban yachid.
Fine.
You're pater from your korban yachid.
But where are you going to get kapara
from? So it may be that you... what does he say? He actually says... You're in trouble.
Why do you need kapara?
You're in trouble. I think you don't get kapara.
Why do you need kapara?
Because the beitim were wrong.
Okay, but when you did it,
that's why there's para and davar. You need kapara. Otherwise, why would Beis Din bring that?
Beis Din is kapara.
It depends how you see things.
You're eating it up.
If you go according to Yechezkel, then you probably do need kapara.
Right, which just seems to be what Rav Yochanan says. So, l'chora, you need kapara, and that's what the Beis Din's doing. There's a big question, the Paralam Davar, this is one of the other questions that gets brought, is that the Beis Din bringing a korban for themselves because they made a mistake? Or is it the Beis Din bringing a korban on behalf of the tzibur?
Does Yom Kippur play no role?
It certainly could. Definitely could, especially nowadays.
I'm sorry,
right, so I assume that it would, because basically this guy is in the same situation that we are in.
Right.
Because he can't get kapara. That seems to be what Rav Chaim says, if I'm not mistaken. He says, le'inyan etzem achiyuv, and le'inyan the kapara, he's out of luck. However, in terms of the chiyuv a korban, he can't. He can't bring the korban. He can bring in a dava, maybe, but he has no obligation to bring a korban because he's tola bebeitin. And that's the first thing the Mishnah said, or the last thing the Mishnah said, hatola bebeitin, patur.
Maybe when the beitin brings the korban, they're bringing it for anyone who's going to eat, including people in the future.
So that's the first thing Rav Chaim said, though. He says it can't be brought for people in the future. That's what he said at the beginning. He said it can't be that it's for future. Said the Bashat Cheto Kfar Paka Meitzibur Din Chovas Korban. Wait, did he say it before that? The Vaday, the Kol Shechat Alachar Shivu Korb Tzibur Kaparatan, a no mitzdarif la tzibur in an etzam chovas korban. You're saying in terms of kapara, where is it? Okay, hold on one second. There's the say whether he actually gets the kapara or not. I can't tell. Can't tell. All right. Good. We'll start there. Shkayach.